But weekly, we do focus certainly on the work of area organizations advancing inclusion and equity in our communities. So this morning, come on in, Steve Chappell and Mariano Avila, to talk about your latest works. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Shelley. Good morning, Mariano.
Good morning.
And to all of our listeners, to cut to the chase, WGBU has been very proud to be working closely with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and several other organizations in the community, many of which are other Kellogg grantees, all under the racial equity umbrella. We've been doing that for the past 2 years, really trying to hone in and focus on areas where circumstances are not equitable for all of our residents, to examine those closer up so we can try to look for ways to address those that are beneficial to children and families, immigrants, and other residents. We've been doing that in two ways, creating programs that we air through social media, the website, on-air television and radio, and thanks to a very talented and dedicated inclusion reporter, we're taking some of that programming into the community through events to create dialogue, hopefully leading toward change.
Mariano, how are things? What is new and what must you share with us today?
Well, I think what we were talking about was trying to focus a little bit on the work that we've done specifically around children and schools over the last 2 years. And we started out our very first show that we did, Mutually Inclusive on Television on PBS, was on a pretty sad topic, which is trafficking of children specifically, and some of the education and resources around that. And so we, in trying to protect primarily girls, but not exclusively, we did a show. We invited state senators, FBI, different folks to talk about ways in which we can prevent this and resources for getting more knowledgeable on the subject and helping to identify potential situations where there might be trafficking going on. We also did one on African-American infant mortality right off the bat. That was like our second or third, I don't even remember, but it was fairly close when we started. And specifically talking about how it is, and this is not my words, this is Kathy Cathari from Western Michigan, who did a study, a pretty comprehensive study on how it is that stress affects mothers, which leads to poor birth outcomes, and specifically how it is for African-American women. And it turns out that that stress, her words were, it's basically racism that continues to create these situations where the stress levels never decrease for black women. And so this constant toxic stress creates a situation that affects the baby with poor birth weight, etc. And they essentially wind up having miscarriages at twice to four times the rate of white women. And this is not nationally, although it's true nationally. This is specifically Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, and Muskegon.
Mariano, in addition to those programs, we also dived in into other areas like environmental issues, mm-hmm. housing issues that impact families and very directly children. And
one of the big ones people may or may not know, although it's everybody who knows about it is trying to get the word out, 49507, which is Grand Rapids southeast side, is the highest lead levels in the state. This includes Flint. Most people don't understand that, and there's a lot of work to be done there. There's lead paint, lead mains, lead pipes, and this is a lot of it is due to old housing that is just not kept up or not known. When I was on a panel recently with the city, talking about I can't remember. There were a couple of home safety organizations, but I was talking to Paul Hahn, and he said, mm-hmm. you know, it's really important that we think of ways to do like a home fax, how we do with cars. Mm-hmm. Carfax, you know everything about the car before you buy it if you want to, and you just pay for this report. But we don't have something like that for houses, and that affects people's health, mm-hmm. and it determines a lot of their other outcomes like economic, health, life expectancy, etc. Another one that we were looking at was tetrachloroethylene, and that's a mouthful, but it's this chemical that has been expanding in that same zip code, 49507, and this is near Hall and Madison. And so we've been tracking that as that plume has been expanding, because it's one of the biggest in the country, and on this particular chemical. So, and now we've got this problem up in Rockford with more chemicals, and people just think of that in general, but it affects children first. All of these issues, but primarily, as big as the Rockford thing is in the news right now, frankly, 49507 has much bigger fish to fry with these rampant lead levels and tetrachloroethylene problems. Children are closer to the ground. They play. They, you know, small children eat dirt. They eat paint chips, all sorts of little things that they get on the ground while they're down there. So these are just some of the things that we've been focused on in trying to make sure that as we serve minority communities, we do it in such a way that it affects children first. The last one that we which you just asked was housing. If children don't have the right housing setup, whether it's too many kids per bedroom or the housing structure is not very well put together. We did a documentary on gentrification, and one of the families had, I think, four or five children, and they needed a specific size of a house, but the houses that they could afford, because they were on fixed income, it was a veteran who was disabled and was on a fixed income because of that, she couldn't afford very expensive houses, and the landlord just did not keep that house up. And so there were paint problems, pipe problems, heat problems, windows were terrible, drafty. And so, again, this affects adults, but it affects children worse and first.
Good. About 2 minutes left, Steve.
Mariano and Shelley, we've also focused on educational outcomes of children through various partnerships. We've had Dr. Nkechi Eze from the Early Learning Neighborhood Collaborative on air a couple of times talking about the need to provide all residents, regardless of whether they can afford it or not, with that critical early childhood experience. And we're even talking with them now about holding some public forums to focus on parents and the increased role that, that they can play and how to empower parents to become part of that early children effort. But we've been talking with Grand Rapids Public Schools. Can you elaborate a little bit on what we propose and hope to work with them on in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. And without getting into too many details, because we're just in the beginning stages of this conversation, we are trying to find ways through video to talk about some of the cultural differences that primarily white teachers have to deal with when we're dealing with primarily brown and black student body. And so when you have a minority community that's the student body and mostly white teachers, there might be some cultural issues that are not very well understood. And because the power dynamic is on the teacher's side, we're trying, I think GRPS and everybody else is trying to reduce the narrative of school to prison pipeline. One of the ways is to make sure that discipline is not overused and it's not overly or not proportional discipline. One way to reduce this is to have more cultural understanding of where the students are coming from by the teachers. And I think that's what we're trying to work on right now with Grand Rapids Public Schools, is create resources that empower teachers to understand their students and their background.
Awesome. Thanks, Mariano. Steve, need to wrap it up, please.
If you've missed any part of this interview, or if you want to watch or listen to any other mutually inclusive programming, go to wgvu.org/mutuallyinclusive.
Thanks, Mariano. Steve Champel, thank you very much on behalf of this weekly visit.